wondering if I could share with you each scriptures.
And I will refer from other parts of the scriptures as we go, but hoping to set the scene. First from Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17 and just a single verse, verse 11. For the soul of the flesh is in the blood, and have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Or another term for soul in other translations, or in the notes there, is life. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And then if we could turn to Hebrews in chapter 9, please. Again, could we look at a single verse? Verse 22, Hebrews 9, 22. And almost all things are purified with blood according to the law. And without blood shedding, there is no remission. And just finally, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, from verse 28. For this is my blood, that of the new covenant, that's shed for many for remission of sins. I'm afraid no bonus points for guessing what the theme in the speaker's heart might be. And that is the wonderful blood of our Lord Jesus. And I'd like to give word about blood in general as well. And it is the scarlet thread from Genesis to Revelation. You cannot read the Holy Bible without reading something of blood. We spent a whole afternoon, but I'm going to pick three different themes from the scriptures, if you don't mind. First, looking at the blood of animals and the sacrifices in the Old Testament. I'm going to touch upon our blood, the blood of humans, and the compassionate giving in the way of blood donation. And ultimately then the blood of Jesus, the ultimate perfect sacrifice. And hopefully we'll see that all of these three things give life, but in very different ways. So we touched upon Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And as we read of the Levitical laws and the sacrifices needed, drawing to Leviticus 4, verse 24, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and slaughter it at the place where they slaughter the burnt offering before Jehovah. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering. He shall pour out its blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. Very solemn theme, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And for those who are much more familiar with the Old Testament, this sacrifice, this blood would have flowed morning and night by the priests at the temple. I've always wondered, why has our God set this in such a manner? Why not any goat or bull? Why not a simple slaughter? Why in this manner given to us? Why for the priest to lay his hand on the head of the goat or the bull? And we know that the Lord said he doesn't delight in the sacrifices of bulls and goats. It's all a shadow of the things to come, Hebrews tells us, doesn't it? But yet, before the coming of Jesus, the Israelites were to really feel the depth and the ugliness and the cost of what it means to cover the sin. Mm-hmm. Have the bull. Got the goat. You can feel the warmth. You can feel it's very much alive. And it's about to be slaughtered. For something it hasn't done. It's not just a chunk of its flesh. It's not just a prick of its blood. This bull, this goat, is going to die for the sin of the Israelites, for the priest. And we see other parts of the Old Testament, thinking chiefly of Exodus 12 in the Passover, a real depiction of God's righteous judgment, how he cannot overlook sin, the judgment that has come over Egypt, and the people were literally saved by the blood. The lamb without blemish. And they were to have it on the 10th of the month until the 14th. So this precious lamb was among the household, bleating again. We're to appreciate the life. People to check that it is without blemish and perfect as a sacrifice. That's to be slaughtered. And its blood put on the doorposts and on the lintel. You just wonder how people must have felt. This wonderful lamb. It's hard to imagine for a lot of us in the 21st century, but in an agriculturally centered economy, where bulls and goats and livestock and crop were really the livelihood, and to take a precious measure of it, the one without blemish, and sacrificed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Really harrowing chapter, Exodus 12. We're given God's graciousness. From the firstborn of the Pharaoh, the one who sat at the throne, the one who mastered over the tens of thousands of souls as slaves, once he had power amongst men, to the firstborn of the one who's in the dungeon in captivity, firstborn of the livestock. Anyone whom the Lord didn't see that blood on the household were dead. Great cry I came from Egypt. Great cry. And yet it's a sacrifice to be repeated over and over again by the priest at the temple morning and night. It's an atonement. It's a covering. Is a bandage over the wound, the deep, deep, ugly wound of sin. And the bandage kept needing changed. The blood kept going to cover and cover and cover and cover. And John could say, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of this world. Can you imagine what that must have been to look forward to? Here are the thousands and thousands of bulls and goats. Here's all the bloods and the dried bloods on the doorposts and the lintels. And yet there's going to be the ultimate lamb. One more given to us by God. And we don't have to do it anymore. No more covering. No more changing of the bandage. He's going to heal us completely. Sin will be removed in full. Hard to think, but blood of animals, yes, to satisfy the law, yes, to cover it over sin, but only worthy in the eyes of the Father. Like I said, he took no pleasure in the bulls of blood of bulls and goats and the sacrifices, but for the one ahead, the one he could find his delight in, our Lord Jesus, and his blood shed on Calvary's cross. Mm-hmm. But of course, we'll come to that. I'm hoping to talk a little bit about our blood, blood of humans, thinking particularly of the Gospel of John. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. A well-known verse. And our blood is still much in use, very relevant in this day and age. I suppose if we read the life is in the blood, the flesh. And we can give that as a gift to one another. I don't know how many in this room have ever donated blood. Maybe some of us have. I know my mother and father-in-law have done so dozens and dozens of times. And in searching for the scriptures for today and prayer on Tuesday this week, I actually went to the blood donation centre in Belfast. I was like, I can't not give blood. Thought about it, prayed about it. Gonna see. It's been a while. I went to the transfusion centre at Belfast City Hospital and gave me a leaflet saying my blood today will be used to help the lives of three people. We need someone to donate their blood every 8 minutes in Northern Ireland alone. Very harrowing statistic that we have so many sick, so many people in need to sustain their physical body. And what a privilege it was, actually, because the giving of a pint of my blood took about 10 minutes. But the screening and the questions and the interviews and check my blood count to make sure I have enough blood to give today and to make sure it's safe to do so. Have I ever got any tattoos? Have I travelled to Central America? All those conditions and what ifs and you can't if you've got X, Y, Z. I thought it'd be easier than this, but what a privilege it was actually to give in the end. And I suppose I've also had the privilege of being in the life cycle, for want of a better term, of a donated blood. I've literally been on the giving end of it, but as part of my day job, I've been on the using end of it, prescribing end of it. And I quoted the scripture from John 15. Embarrassed to say I laid down my life for anybody. I gave a tenth of my blood. I'm here today, a few days later. But there is the one who poured out his blood for us. Poured out his blood. I gave a small bit that will help a few people for a limited number of time. Lord Jesus poured out his blood on that cross, so that all might live who put their trust and faith in the work. Touch a little bit about what human blood can do and what it cannot do. And in my 10-year career in a hospital, I think the most terrifying experience I've ever had, one of the most terrifying, was a lady who was in with a chest infection that morning. We were smiling, going to get you home later that day. And about an hour later, I get a call to come back to the ward. And this lady was bleeding out. Bleeding. Out of nowhere. And she was still, she looked a bit more pale than that morning, but she was still awake. They said, I'm going to take some blood. We're going to get that matched in the blood bank. We're going to get you some units of blood. We'll get that transfused. No problem. 30 minutes later, same lady, non-conscious, deathly pale, waxy. And it was really scary. All of us dropped everything. All the other patients on hold. And we got the lines in, we got the bags of fluids up, We're waiting on the blood. Blood's not ready for another 40 minutes to get the make sure we get matched the right blood to the right person. We have no time. No time. Heart rate going up, blood pressure dropping. I had to activate the massive transfusion protocol. And if that means anything to you, you know, everything stops. Everyone runs. Some of us work in the hospital, nodding their heads. I remember calling the family, that awful call nobody ever wants to receive. Your mother is sick. I need you in right now. I don't know how long we've left. I was like, this lady was chatting and we were joking. We were going to get her home 2 hours ago. And now she's at death's door. She's so pale. She can't talk. And I just remember the wait on ward outside of ward 5A. I saw the porters arrive with the bags of human blood. And we squeezed those bags in. And the colour that came back within minutes. One who was looking at death. One who was going to lose. Colour back. Starting to come around. Or kindness of strangers. Lying at some point with their arms giving their blood to save this woman's life. Just extend that time here in the body so that we can find out what's happened. There was a bleeding ulcer and she did get home in the end, thankfully. But despite witnessing that miracle of modern medicine, right place, right time, it's touch and go, we got the blood in. If she hadn't been saved by the blood of Jesus, it doesn't matter how much units of blood we transfuse into her. It doesn't matter if it's 4 units or 4 people or 8 people. She still would have faced eternity in judgment. So we can save a few lives with our blood, for compassion for other humans, but nothing but the blood of Jesus can save us and give us eternal life. Not just a few hours, maybe a few weeks, but eternal life. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 tells us, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Past, present, and future. Wonder. Wonder at the power of the blood. Wonder at the preciousness. You wonder at why was there no other way. You wonder at the scripture's truth. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Lord Jesus Christ, and we get such wonderful accounts of him in the Gospels and throughout scriptures. We see the one who could heal the flux of blood, the lady who had the 12 years of discharge. She was losing blood. Just the hem of his garment. And the blood stopped. The one who could command over death, Jairus' daughter. Little girl, I say to you, get up. Lazarus, who is clearly dead. Lazarus, come out. He did. Death had to obey. Can you imagine you're in a hospital and the nurses and the doctors are shouting at you, be gone, whatever illness. No, death. Absolutely nothing would happen. You have to do so many loops, so many things and medicines and bloods just to eke a little bit of life back. But Lord Jesus, Lazarus, come out. The one who could literally say, I'm the resurrection and the life. And if you don't believe him, believe the works. And yet, the one who had command over death, just from his voice, there was no other way that we could be saved unless he shed his blood for us. Again, so harrowing, so deep, so wrong. Sin is. Even the one who has mastery over death, even the one who could heal at a distance, hem of his garment, just from his will, he had to die, and his blood shed. And when I was giving my blood, I was thanked at least 5 times, I counted. Twice verbally, I received text, thank you for your time. 3 times from the staff, the receptionist, who checked me in, and the 2 nurses who sat with me. And I remember, just for a little bit of my time and blood, I was in a comfy recliner. They even changed the ceiling pads as they reclined me back. And I saw blue skies and hot air balloons in the ceiling. Unbelievable. And someone to chat with me throughout the whole process, so I wasn't without company. I got some juice and some feta bars. This pales in comparison of what our Lord Jesus went through. My blood had no power to save sins. My blood had no effect against eternal death. And yet to the one whose blood will be shed, for the ones who looked forward to that cross, those of us now in that wonderful period of grace, who simply trust. No physical giving sets. No, I looked up Belfast to Calgary's cost is 3,500 miles. I was pacing up and down that hospital ward, waiting for that blood to come with the porters, just for human life to be extended, get that physical blood in. And yet the blood of Jesus, 2,000 years later, when I asked Lord Jesus save me, when you asked Lord Jesus save me, that's it. His blood covered. His blood did more than that. He saved you. You've been washed. Time, distance and time and the physical distance from the cross didn't matter. Wonderful, wonderful life-giving blood. And yet, how did we treat him? There was no thanks. Those he trusted, his inner circle, a lot of them ran away hiding. We could not hurt him enough. The thorn, the crown of thorns, the scourging, the beating, the mockery at the one whom we should have been on our faces, bowing down every knee, every tongue confessing him as Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving us your blood. Thank you for saving us. Oh, crucify me. Crucify him. And we know none of this was accidental. We know every step was part of God's plan. And no matter how much we try to will, we get glimpses of this. You know, we try to grab him and he could... wasn't his time yet. And even at the Garden of Gethsemane, when they sought to grab him, they all fell away. Everything according to his time and his will. Father, if there's any other way on that garden. He knew how much he would suffer. He knew what it meant to carry the sin, to be separated from his Father. And yet for the joy that lay ahead, God so graciously gives us that scripture, don't we? We have the awful weight of what the Saviour has done. But yet we know he had the joy that from this giving, from this bloodshed, there'll be so many enjoying the freedom and the salvation of the shed blood. Hebrews 9 tells us, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. How many times have we sang about it in our hymns? How many times have we remembered it in breaking of bread, thinking of the cup, my blood poured out for you? How many times have we read it in our secret studies, studies with other people? And yet, it is so precious. So, so precious. It doesn't take long to read the words. But it's my hope that we might even just feel His love and grace and the glory of God in the outpouring of His blood on the cross. The blood of animal sacrifices, again, Hebrew tells us, that was a shadow. Shadow of the things to come. Shadow, simple outline of the one who is the true substance of Jesus. Human blood, so compassionate that we can do for what we can do for one another, but temporal, limited. Nothing against the scarlet sin. And then the blood of our Lord Jesus. Perfect and eternal. Perfect and permanent. These are the few scattered thoughts. And what does it mean to us now? We've talked about it. We've contemplated it. Suppose it leads us to Thanksgiving. Suppose communion and giving glory to God when we examine ourselves means much more. The one who gave the ultimate blood, one who is the universal donor to all sinners out there. May we just seek praise and glory for the blood of our Lord Jesus and His love. That's neat, sick.